Well, welcome to everyone to this feast, the celebration of Christmas, the birth of Jesus Christ. So welcome if you've been preparing through Advent at home and coming to Mass. Welcome also if you've been maybe watching Mass on live stream. And welcome if you've made the special effort to come to Mass at this particular time, maybe with family or friends, or maybe on your own. Whatever your reason for being here on this Christmas day, welcome, welcome, welcome. On behalf of Father Jonathan, our pastor, Father Ben, and myself, we are, as Father Ben said at the beginning, very pleased that you are here and that we can celebrate this great and joyous feast together. Well, hopefully no husbands got their wives a vacuum cleaner or a frying pan for Christmas. If you did, you're welcome to stay here and pray for forgiveness for the rest of the day. Father Ben may be willing to hear your confession. However, if you did get tools for your husband or father, that will be one of the great acts of love that you could do, even if he already has 6 cordless drills. Well, we know, of course, that Santa Claus is pretty important. The image of Santa Claus on this day. What do you call people who are afraid of Santa Claus? Claustrophobic, of course. Why was Santa's little helper depressed? Because he had low elf esteem. What do you call Santa when he stops moving? Santa paws. Apparently, the 4 stages of life in this image are: you believe in Santa Claus, you don't believe in Santa Claus, you are Santa Claus, you look like Santa Claus. Now, the model for Santa Claus, the modern name model for Santa Claus, is Saint Nicholas. Now, Saint Nicholas is a 4th century bishop whose feast day we celebrated on December 6th. But St. Nicholas is a model of how Christians are meant to live. Guess what? St. Nicholas put the birth of Jesus Christ at the center of his life, his care for the poor, his gift-giving, which we model today, and also to his entire existence. Whatever you think about Santa, Jesus is real. He was born and he lived. There is better evidence for the birth, life, death, and resurrection of Jesus than there is for Julius Caesar or any ancient figure. 4 Gospels and many other accounts are written in the lifetime of those who knew him, and they tell of the same events. We don't have this kind of immediate record for any other figures. Julius Caesar, as a comparison, the records we have of his life don't appear even till 400 to 600 years after his death. But the gospel accounts and others tell about Jesus. Christmas Day and Christmas season celebrate the birth of Jesus and the ways he showed us the presence of God among us. And so for the church, only the Easter celebration of the Lord's death and rising is more important. Well, Johnny was in grade 2 when his class was preparing for First Communion. And the pastor came for a visit and was thinking of what kind of questions to ask the children to test their knowledge. So he started like this: "Children, where is Jesus?" Then he looked at little Johnny, hiding his face. Johnny was hiding so he wouldn't get asked. "Johnny, can you tell me where Jesus is?" Johnny looked frightened and didn't open his mouth. So Father asked him again, "Come on, Johnny, tell me where Jesus is." Looking more terrified, Johnny just shrunk into his seat a little further. One more time, Father said to him, "I think you know where the answer to where Jesus is." So at that moment, Johnny bolted out of his seat, ran out of the room, knocking over his books, went straight out of the school and didn't stop for 2 blocks on the way home, ran past his mother and up to his room. His mother rushed up to him and, opening the door to his closet where he was hiding, she said, "Johnny, what's wrong?" Starting to cry, he blurted out, "Jesus is missing, and the priest thinks I took him." Old joke, but it still works. Right? Well, today is the day when we celebrate knowing exactly where Jesus was around 2,000 years ago and in our presence today. St. Francis is a great 13th century saint who made popular the manger scene that we use today to identify with the events that are told in the Gospels about the birth of Jesus. So in doing so, St. Francis, that greatest of saints, one of the greatest of saints of all, helps us to focus on this part of the story so that we can call to mind where Jesus is in the story, in history, and in our lives. And in fact, Franciscan priest who was here at the last Mass said to me, but Francis also said that we are asked at Christmas time, or St. Francis would say, that everyone should also make a place for Jesus to be born in their lives and in their relationships with other. So Jesus is God who came to us as a baby. And that event was so significant in history that the angels announced it to some simple shepherds in a field, telling them where to go so that they would know where Jesus is. And we might ask, why a baby? Why do we celebrate Jesus as a baby? I think, you know, many great people, we appreciate what they did as adults or as young people or as adults. And some of those, we celebrate their birthdays. But I can't think of anyone who we celebrate as a baby. So Jesus is different in that way. We celebrate the very fact that God, who created everything, decided to enter into this part of what he created, our human existence. And so that can seem very strange. That's weird. And in a way, it really is. Christianity is the religion that tells us that God did this for one reason. It was not for himself, but it was so that he could share his life, his divine life, his blessed life with us. Now, we know that God can seem mysterious and unknowable, and we might even be afraid of so great a God. So what does God do? He comes to us in our most vulnerable state as a baby, born to a poor family. And then he announces that birth first to some of the least significant people in that society, the shepherds. Angels appear. Light pierces the darkness. The shepherds receive a revelation from heaven that a child is born. And those shepherds see literally into heaven itself and the rejoicing that is going on in heaven. But this story doesn't just simply come out of nowhere. The prophet Isaiah, whom we read today, whom we read at all the different masses at Christmas, even though we have different readings for the different masses, the prophet Isaiah foretold the very thing that we are celebrating. Along with many other prophecies, dozens, even hundreds, we see for the only time in human history that the founder of the great religion of Christianity is foretold. It is predicted in advance. And then we see in our culture that even though there's a kind of a moving away to faith in Jesus Christ, we see it in even our fictional movies and stories, because they tell stories, whole stories and whole movies are based on the idea of the coming of a great figure. You know, so if you know, for example, The Matrix, you know, Neo is the one that they've been waiting for. Is he going to be the one? And so we see this many, many times in the stories of superheroes and in other stories. But all of those are actually modeled, whether they realize it or not, on the actual story of a people to whom God kept showing himself, gradually revealing himself, but also revealing what was going to happen in the future. A child will be born, Isaiah says. Authority will rest upon his shoulders, and he will be named Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. He will save his people. He will be Emmanuel, which means God is with us. Kind of a different kind of way of looking at this. In the Charlie Brown Christmas cartoon special, Charlie Brown yells out a question in frustration. Is there anyone who knows what the Christmas story is all about? Is there anyone who knows what Christmas is all about, the meaning? Poor Charlie, he can't kick his blues. His dog Snoopy is all about the lights and the show. His sister Sally is trapped in the desire for things. I love what she says here. All I want is what I have coming to me. All I want is my fair share. But little Linus has the answer to Charlie's question. Sure, Charlie Brown, I can tell you what Christmas is all about. There were some shepherds in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. And the angel of the Lord came to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were afraid. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for I bring you great news of joy for all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." And this shall be a sign to you. You shall find the baby wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward people. We just heard the glory beautifully sung. Shepherds to whom these angels appeared are far removed from the elite in Jerusalem. The shepherds were even considered kind of sinful or at least unclean. But the angels tell the shepherds first in a field, even though you are the least among people, God has come for you. And so today, brothers and sisters, we might remind ourselves the fact that angels appear to shepherds to announce the good news of the birth of Christ means that that message is for all people, no matter who you are. It's you and me. It's personal. Christ has come for us. He has come in a low state, as a vulnerable child, in a precarious situation, to make it so that we will not be afraid to approach him in our vulnerable and precarious situations. And the shepherds got it, didn't they? They were filled with so great a joy that they wanted to see it for themselves, and they went immediately to Bethlehem. We can just imagine them running, breathless, to see this great thing that had been revealed to them from heaven. And then once they had seen it, they could not stop talking about it. All who heard it were amazed by what had been told them by the shepherds. And so we see that Jesus clothed himself in our human condition. So this image, you know, in the scripture it tells us in swaddling clothes. So he was wrapped in strips of cloth by Mary. But he comes to us in our human condition, in our human clothing, with our joys and our struggles. Jesus' love embraces all our fragile elements. He takes them on, and he welcomes them with tenderness. If there is a darkness somewhere in your life or mine, maybe some sadness or some emptiness, Jesus Christ came to let you and me know that we are not alone in that place. Tells us that there was no room at the inn for Mary to give birth to her child. But today, you and I can change that. We can invite the Christ child to be born into our hearts, to transform our lives, so that we might grow in joy and hope and courage and peace. Is there any one of us who doesn't need at least one of those things? The way one person said it was, Christ could be born 1,000 times in Bethlehem, but all in vain unless he is born in me. Bethlehem. I don't think I realized this before. If I knew it, I had forgotten it until I heard Father Jonathan's homily yesterday. The name Bethlehem literally means house of bread. I won't take a poll to see how many people knew that. But this church houses the bread that becomes Jesus. Now he wants us to become a Bethlehem, a house of bread, a manger which contains the bread that is Jesus. And so I invite all of us today to consider the invitation to come once more to Christmas, to Christ's Mass. That's what Christmas is, Christ's Mass. And here we are today. Some have stayed away because of fear of illness. Some may have lost a sense of God in their lives, maybe years ago. Maybe if some of you have been made to feel unwelcome. And maybe some of you have never really thought about how Jesus wants to have a personal relationship with you and I, to share his life with us. Well, the message today is that this is Christmas. This is Christ's Mass, and you and I are here today. Today, your presence here helps to keep Christ in Christmas. But it is also a way to keep the Mass in Christ. So the same Jesus who was born in the place called the House of Bread invites each of us to make room in our hearts and our lives to become a Bethlehem, a house of bread. God did this for each one of us so that we would know that we matter and that once we have that in our hearts, so that we would tell others and show that to others by the way we treat them and by the way we are present with them. So brothers and sisters, today on behalf of all of us here at St. Peter's, the staff and clergy, have a merry and most blessed Christmas day.